Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I've got a word for you today, and it's one of those words that I think if I can communicate it accurately, it's going to help everybody in here. It's going to impact every person's life in this place. So I've got a responsibility to communicate it accurately, but you've got a responsibility to catch it. All right? This word that we preach, it's living, it's alive, and it's powerful. Listen, it's not just something that you listen to or you just hear. You grab a hold of it. You catch it. And I'm gonna try to lead you in this kind of past pattern that this is gonna be an easy catch for you. And I'm telling you, this is one of those messages to me that doesn't just get you a first down or a new set of downs, it scores for you. And so some of you guys that haven't spiritually scored in a while or been in a place where, you know, you're on top of things or you're living the life, the triumphant life that God's given us to live, I believe this message can help you get there. So you ready to receive today? God, I just thank you for your word today. God, I thank you that it's a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. God, you make our crooked places straight. God, we give you dominion in our lives to deal with us as you will. God, I thank you that every person here, God, has need of you. God, you show yourself real and alive in a fresh new way for everybody in here. God, I thank you for a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. God, that we return to our first love in here today. And God, I thank you that this be one of those times that we have together where we're never the same, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, hey, Guts Church, come as you are, but hopefully you're not going to stay the way you are. I'll tell you, let's go. I want to kind of build a platform and lay it out for you in the Word initially. So if you could, look at two scriptures. One is Hebrews 13, 15. And these two scriptures aren't the kind of things where it's like they're probably in none of your top five favorite scripture lists. But Hebrews 13, 15, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Okay, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The Bible talks about a sacrifice of praise. Now listen, for a spirit of heaviness. See, the reason there's a heaviness that's on our life is because things aren't going the way we anticipated them going. Things aren't happening the way, in the timing or the way we thought that things should happen. And we're looking at the product of our life. We're thinking, okay, this isn't that good. And so what do? Man, we have to offer up a sacrifice of praise. It's sacrificial because it doesn't, it's not something natural in us. It's not something we feel like we want to do at the moment. It's like, we look at where James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The last thing I want to do is count it joy when I hit a test or a trial. It's not something that I anticipate joyfully, but you know, you look at this, it doesn't say for every trial, it says in every trial. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And listen, the whole idea of falling, that's not something that we want to count joy. But listen, we have to have a sacrifice of praise where it doesn't feel like it for us, okay? And we have to count it joy even if we don't like the particulars of our lives. You know, and it's interesting because we have to be in a place in our life where we realize what we're celebrating. And I think too many people celebrate the position of their life rather than the mission on their life or for their life. See, the position, whether it's wealth or it's even health or it's a title or it's a promotion, see, all God is looking at in every one of these instances in our lives is the why. See, most people, when people come up for prayer, and people have a prayer request, most of the prayer requests would be for a what. And most of the whats, all the whats, God's already promised. It's in our account. But see, it's interesting because very few prayer requests are the why, are the mission. See, I'll just tell you, the mission of the church is to win the lost. Plain and simple. See, we want to raise people up. We want to disciple people. Why? So they go into every man's world and preach the gospel to every creature and make disciples. See, and it's like, well, wait a second. I thought this was for me. It is for you. But it's not for you, listen, to be the be-all, end-all. It's for God to be able to work through you. See, and that's the mission of the church, to situate people and position people to where God can work through them and God can be a part of and about their lives. If we understand the mission, we can trust God with the position of our lives then. And I know, listen, I'm not going cliche, trendy preacher on you. I know those two terms rhyme, but I couldn't think of better words that didn't rhyme, okay? So it's not gonna become a rap song next week. It's not, okay, but listen, the idea of our lives, our flesh is always, just focused on the position. But God's heart in us is about the mission, the true mission of our lives. And if we get caught up in the position, then pride kicks in and envy kicks in. Our ego becomes a part of it. And you know, the Bible's interesting. The Bible doesn't say that sin comes before the fall. The Bible says, doesn't say that God resists the sinner. The Bible says that pride comes before the fall. And pride, and listen, and God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. See, we have to understand, we have to look at God's word, and the reason that pride is such an issue in our lives is because our flesh is so determined to seek position. You know, if you might be a business owner, and you'd say, hey, can you pray for me that my business grows? There's church pastors that are watching this, that watch or listen to the podcast that get on the app and I get a lot of people say, man, can you pray? I want my church to grow. It's like, okay, your business, your church, you want them to grow. I think that's God's heart, but it's not about the what. It's not about our influence or our fame or our ego. It's about the why. Man, I want this church to grow because I know God's called us to reach the lost all around us. You know, we plant churches not because we're church planters. We plant churches because there's places, there's communities without a life-giving church. You know, the last church in Sapulpa that was planted, we planted a church there around Easter time of 2016. But the last church plant was probably 50 years ago. You know, see, we have to understand that, man, we've got to stay up to pace with just generationally. The church has to remain multi-generational. This church reaches four generations of people. And you know what? As time goes, it better be five generations of people. And then six generations of people. But see, we've got to be growing like that. But it's about the mission. It's not about our position. It's not about how people can see us. You know, because the trying to satisfy people and their needs and trying to impress people, let me tell you, it will erode your soul. It will bore a hole through your soul. And you know, if you look at this and you think, well, wait a second, all they want me to do is give and all they want me to do is serve and all they want me to do is join. Why do we want you to join? Why do we get up here and we honestly do everything we can do? We're gonna feed you lunch at Next Steps. Why is that? Why do we go to such expense and so much resource? And man, it's a great crowd in here today too, by the way. God bless you guys. But why do we do that? Because the Bible says this, we're all members of his body. So you might be here and you might think, well, if I'm a member, I'm disjointed. No, you probably are. I think most people sitting in the church in America in 2016 are disjointed, are dysfunctional. The functional members of God's body, that's the idea of this is that none should perish. The idea of this is that none be feeble. But let me tell you, if you're on your own and you're isolated, you're apt to become feeble. And see, we've got to look at this, and it's like, what does the Bible say? That we're all members of his body, and God has placed us in his body where it pleases him. But listen, it says where every joint supplies. Now listen, that's not talking about marijuana there. It's not talking about cannabis. I'm not here trying to push an agenda. But listen, where you joining, where you're joined, that who you're connected with, that's what your supply is going to be. So if you're looking at your life and you're thinking, man, my life's pretty dark and it's dim and it's dingy and I'm not really overcoming. I don't have a piece of my life. Man, my wife and I are growing apart, whatever that is. I'm telling you, it's where you're joined. It's who you're around. Bad company corrupts good morals. Man, you're around funny people, you're around great people, you're around fun people. Man, all of my kids, I've raised them, when they get to junior high, man, puberty causes things to happen in people's lives. I don't know if you guys know that. They smell different, they talk different, they look at things, it's like, dear God, what has happened to my kids? And it's what you think. But it's interesting, there's two kinds of kids in your school. There's good kids and there's fun kids. Well, you want to be with the fun kids, because why? They're fun. But the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. Man, we get around people that are apt to have fun, it's pleasurable. Man, that's a season in our life that's going to come to an end, and it's going to end up ruinous in our lives. See, so that's why what we want to do is connect you with good people, godly people. Man, people that are about the mission more than the position. And see, and that's a big key for us. When I look at this, I think of Joseph it'd be a great study for your family is just to study the life of Joseph. But here Joseph was born, his mom and dad were much older than they were when they had his siblings. But Joseph was working out in the field and God gave him a vision for his life. And as an immature man, as a young man, he shared that vision with his brothers. And the vision was, I'm gonna reign over y'all. you guys are gonna serve me. And of course the brothers didn't take kindly to it. And it took him to a place of jealousy and envy. And the reason being is because in Joseph's youth and his immaturity, he didn't communicate the mission, he communicated the position. So what his brothers did is they sold him into, even his dad sold him into slavery. But even when he was in prison and then he was in the pit and he was a lowly slave, he was promoted to Potiphar's house. He oversaw all the gross national product of that country, the entire nation. And so here he was where his brothers were in famine and he's distributing food. And he's there distributing bread to them and distributing corn to them. And the brothers come through and they don't even recognize him. And it's so interesting because he revealed himself to his brothers. They didn't recognize, but he recognized them. See, and everything turned around. Everything came into play because what God's going to do, if we're about the mission of our lives, God's going to maneuver the position to benefit us and to bless us. But if we're about the position, what that does, now listen, and please listen this carefully, it cuts off the flow of God's blessing in our life. Because the position of our lives is about me. It's all about me. What about me? When do I get mine? Man, all they want is my money. And it's like, no, the church doesn't want your money. The church wants your heart. God doesn't want a check from you. He wants your checkbook. See, we have to understand that we're giving our lives to him. We're giving our entire heart to him. And the Bible says this, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. So you know what Sandy and I endeavor to do is every time that bucket goes by, something of value in our lives goes into that bucket. Every service that we're in. Why? Because I want to be invested in what God's doing in every area of my life, in every part of my life. But if it's about the position, if it's about my promotion, and let me just tell you, I'm not immune to this. Man, I've been doing this for a long time now. It's the 24th year of this church. And Sandy and I were in ministry even before that. We were youth pastors in Southern California. So position's a big deal in ministry. But then you know what? You realize there's no fulfillment in the position if the mission doesn't override it. And see, the mission of our lives, people say, man, can you pray? I need more money. I need my business to grow. Here's the question, why? Man, if you don't have a ready answer to why, it's not gonna bless you even if it grows. Let me just tell you, I talk to pastors all the time, my peers, friends of mine that have big churches. It's like, oh my gosh, it was so much more fun. It was so much more fulfilling. This isn't what I bought into. When it was smaller is what I bought into. It was so much more fun. It was so much more fulfilling. You know why? Because the cares of this world, the pride of life, begins to rob us of the mission God's called us to. See, you have to remember that, and I'm very forthright about this. Man, this church came from a vision that God gave me of ministry in 1979. And it was an old barn out in the woods, and it just had hundreds of people everywhere. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, why does church make it so hard for us to be guests at the church? So everything we do in this church and everything we've ever done is with the guest in mind. Everything we've ever done is to bring in people to just come and visit, just come check it out, just come and see. And then hopefully you have the kind of experience that you need to go and tell. And see, let me just tell you, that's the mission of the church. If you've got the revelation of come and see and go and tell, I'll tell you what, we're gonna reach the city. We're gonna reach lost people and hurting people. Man, we're gonna feed the poor. Man, we're gonna take care of everybody that we can take care of. Man, and the idea of this is now that it's time for us to begin to give ministry away. But Paul said, know those whom you labor among. Man, that's why we have the Second Mile Ministry Training Program, which is tonight at 6 o'clock, and every guy should be here so Chano can win and I can get off his back about the girls beating him. And that wasn't in my notes. We have the internship. We have church. We're just trying to build and build and build into people's lives. Man, AJ preached at the young adult service Thursday night last week. AJ, she's our campus host in Sapulpa. Let's welcome everybody in Sapulpa into our service today. You want to? But he talked about within the walls of God. Man, we are safe and we're secure and there's healing there and there's provision there. But we get outside those walls, oh my gosh. We become a prey. And Ezekiel 34 says to the beast of the field and to the wilderness, man, why in the world would you want to raise your kids up when they get to be an age that they can make their own decisions, that they get outside the wall? Man, they get outside the protection of God, outside of his security, outside of his provision. It doesn't make any sense. See, we're in this together and we're linked up. There's no way I could get off track with the guys I'm linked up with. Why? Because they're not going to get off track. So in order for me to get off track, I've got to become disjointed. I've got to be dysfunctional. And let me just tell you something. Disjointed brings pain. Dysfunctional brings depression. See, so if there's pain and there's depression in your life, it's because you're disjointed. It's because you're dysfunctional. You have to have a function. You have to be a part of the mission. We're asking people to serve. Why? We want them to join. Why? We want there to be supply in your life. See, we don't want you walking around empty. We don't want you walking around trying to figure out if your glass is half empty or half full. God's will for your life is for your cup to run over. Okay, I said God's will for your life is for your cup to run over. Man, but you know what you've got to do? You've got to seize that. You've got to apprehend that. That's got to become your mission. My mission is for my cup to run over. Why? Well, you know, I just want all the new cool stuff. Why? Well, because then I think my dad will think I'm a success. Then I remember years and years ago, my dad's 85 years old. My dad lives in Kansas City. And we tried to get him to move here. We tried to get him to move to Columbia with my sister. He's like, ah, this is what I know. I'll just come visit once in a while. I'm like, Dad, you can be a part of the church. You can be this. He goes, yeah, but I don't want to make a hasty decision. I said, Dad, you're 85. Every decision's got a little haste in it, dog. But I remember 20 years ago, we're back in the old building. And my dad's a numbers, business, spreadsheet genius, okay? And that's probably why we get along so well, because we're opposites. I asked him one time, I said, Dad, I got to ask you this question. And it just had something to do with just church management, just people management. And I said, Dad, I need to ask your advice on this. And I started to ask him, and he cut me off. And he's not like that. He's very, very honorable man, very, very, very gentle, he's a great listener. But he cut me off, and he said, Bill, I just got to tell you, I can't help you. He said, you're swimming in much deeper waters than I could ever handle. He said, what you're doing blows my mind. I'm just hopeful it's going to work out and end up great for you, because it's beyond anything I could ever imagine. And I thought about that, and that might be a little bit of the validation. See, because if I came around, if there was an element of my life that what I needed was people's validation, oh my gosh, it'd be misery for everybody. You know, people would come in and they'd visit the church. They'd say, you know what, it was good. It was good people. I think they're genuine, but there's just something weird there. And it's because leadership needs validation. And if that validation's there, that just means then, if leadership needs validation, that means that, man, we're positionally oriented rather than missionally oriented, where the mission is what the key is. See, and I think this is about our lives as husbands and wives, as parents, man, as just people, that there is a flow of resource that comes through our life. Do you understand how much income, how much revenue, the whole expenditures that are just in this room, just in Skytook or Sepulpa, in those rooms? It's just a massive amount of resource. But you know what? If it's all about us positionally, it'll just come and go. If there's a mission to it, listen, it all changes. See, and I think that, you know, we have to look at, I want to get to the crux, because we could sit here and we could say, well, Pastor Bill's talking about Joseph, and Pastor Bill's talking about Jesus. Let me tell you, turn your Bibles to Romans 8. What a great chapter in God's Word. Romans, the 8th chapter, somewhere that if you're wondering a place to settle and you want to read the Bible, you just want to settle somewhere for a while, you can just read and reread Romans 8 a while. But Romans 8 and verse 18, and this is really taking people from suffering to glory. And that might even be one of the bylines in your Bible. Okay, but in Romans 8, 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present age, and some of you guys are going through that. The Bible even talks about it as being a light affliction. For this light affliction, you have blowout. That's a light affliction. Your air conditioner went out in your car. That's a light affliction. Okay? The gas prices go up. That's a light affliction. But the Bible says this, for I consider that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Verse 19, now listen to this. For the earnest expectation of the creation of the world eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. See, we're thinking the world's waiting on a new president. We're thinking the world's waiting on a good economy. We think that the world's waiting on racial reconciliation. We're thinking the world's waiting on world peace. But you know what? Those are all peripheral issues. Let me tell you what God's word says. The truth is, the world is earnestly awaiting, creation is, the revealing, listen, not of the Son of God, the sons of God. It's you and I. The world is eagerly awaiting the church to be who God's called us to be. But as long as we're positionally minded, as long as we've got to interrupt people and try to butt up to the front of the line, they're going to disregard us like they have for generations. But if we become missionally minded, if we think, listen, in one accord, man, what's the idea? Why do we do the nightmare? I do the nightmare. The number one reason I do the nightmare is it rallies this church. It wins the lost. It grabs the attention of our community. Man, if we could get their attention and they could see Jesus through what we do, oh my gosh, it's a whole new ballgame in people's lives. It's a game changer. But see, if we're thinking positionally, we miss out on all of it. But if we think missionally, man, what's the mission? To rally the church. What's the mission? See, I got a report yesterday that we have 100 more people to volunteer than we have in the last couple of years. And you know what? That's good. You get kind of a golf, you suck a putt, you get a golf clap. But you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of the men and the women that are in this room that are disjointed. I'm thinking about people that it's like, well, wait a second. I'm not sure I'm into that kind of thing. You're not into rallying God's church? You're not into winning the lost? No, we're not into scaring people. It's like, yeah, I'm not into that either. But let me tell you something, it works. You know what's gonna happen? 30,000 people are gonna go through the nightmare this year. And I believe in God for more. That seems like a low number to me. But we're gonna pray individually with 30,000 people. Every person that comes through the nightmare is gonna get prayed for. Lost, found, black, white, Hispanic, rich, poor, young, old, does not matter. The people that are gonna resist it the most, and they might even physically come against you to pray for you, are gonna be religious people, it's gonna be church people. So just, no, somebody drunk, they're not gonna do it. Drug addicts, not gonna do it. Because they're gonna see Jesus hanging on that cross, they're gonna say, oh dear God, can somebody pray for me? Can somebody help me? See, I just think about me. When I was in high school, not one single person ever confronted me with the love of God. Not one single person came up to me and said, you know, God gave his son Jesus to die for you. And if you make him the Lord of your life, you'll live forever. I would have said, I'm in. I'm good with that. I'd love to have that in my life. No one ever did that. That never happened in my life. It didn't happen until I'd been at college for 4 years where this stuff started becoming real to me. See, so now you look at our lives, you look at the life of people that are gonna go through there. And you know what? If I were the devil, I'll tell you this. I think, you know what I'm gonna mess with? I'm gonna mess with people there to minister to them in that ministry tent to lead them to the Lord and to pray with them, and I'm gonna mess with the security. So you know what? I'll just tell you right flat out right now. We need people, listen, I need you to pray and believe God. And I need people that are trained, people that are plugged in, people that are joined up to help in the ministry tent. We're gonna pray individually for over 30,000 people in October. I need some of you fellas to help with inside security. Because I'll tell you, if there's no issues like that, and we have enough ministry people, oh, I'll tell you, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. I've never seen anything like it. Have you, Raj? I mean, people coming out of there, I still run into people this day that say, man, I got saved at the nightmare, and man, I pastor a church, and they tell me the town, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the impact is so far-reaching, it's crazy. But see, I'm just talking to you missionally. This is a call to action. You know, Katie's video was a good video, it really was. And it touched my heart. But you know what? I'm giving you a call to action. I'm asking you to come out from behind the hedges. Come out from the holes that we're hiding in and step up. Maybe grow up a little bit, grow in God a little bit. Take responsibility. Become accountable. You know, you may not be there every Friday and Saturday in October, but I think we could be there a Friday and Saturday in October. And I'll tell you why. There's 12 and 13 and 14 and 15-year-old kids that are gonna come out by the hundreds to be a part of it. You know what we need? We need a presence of leadership. And we need the devil and all of his crummy little demons to know that there is more than just a show of force in this church. There's a triumphant army in this church. But you know, it's not just about the nightmare. It's about every aspect of what God's doing in us. It's about the missional part of who God's called us to be. That's what he blesses. He doesn't bless us positionally. He blesses us regarding the mission, the why of our life, the revealing of the sons of God. God will change your position to accomplish his mission in your life. So if you're in a position right now that you're like, man, I need this to change, you got to be about the mission. That's what God will change it. I think some of you guys just force a personality in the arm of the flesh. You can change your position a little bit. You can go laterally a little bit. But I'll tell you, God may even take you, listen to me, down a little bit to get what you need to get you ready for when you're overseeing the king's palace, that true place. I'll tell you, the vision God gave me in ministry 36, 7 years ago is still coming alive today. To me, in my heart, this is an old barn in the middle of the woods where people are coming not because they have to, because they get to, because they want to. And when you turn your heart from positionally having to be here to getting to be here, oh my goodness. It's such an honor for me to be able to be here and do what I do. I know who I am. I'm so thankful that Jesus said, you didn't pick me, I picked you. And I've appointed you. Because I don't know that I would have picked me to do what God's picked me to do. And I believe that God's no respecter of persons. I believe that's the kind of life that God wants all of us to have. Oh my gosh, this is greater than I ever thought it could be. Man, if you'd have asked me 26 or 27 years ago if this would be my life now, I'd say, man, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. See, let's raise our kids missionally, not positionally. Man, the education, the system of education that America has raises kids positionally. So you know what we have to be as parents and as the church? Missionally minded.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.